What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Josh Hadley always wastes your Saturday nights, but on a good, uplifting note, we have the cat.
Hello.
And on a we're recording a half hour later than normal because someone can't show up on time note, we have the Charlie.
And if it makes you feel any better, I'm also wasting my night doing this shit.
Fair enough. Well, let's get into...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Either of you seen the 1990 Gene Hackman, Dan Aykroyd movie Loose Cannons?
I have a special affinity for that movie.
I've never even heard of it.
It bombed. There's a reason you haven't heard of it.
It was an enormous bomb. It was not a bad movie, though. It was a buddy cop movie, and those were being cranked out by the dozens back in 1990. But it was good because Gene Hackman was like the loose cannon, nothing to live for cop. And Dan Aykroyd was, on the surface, very reserved, but he was a psychologist with multiple personality, if I remember correctly.
Well, we'll get to in a minute why Dan Aykroyd does not hold your affinity for that movie, okay? Apparently, in Calgary, Canada, someone doesn't recognize Dan Aykroyd or that movie. A film processing house was getting rid of some of their old stock, and one of these were film prints of the movie Loose Cannons. And they were all damaged and thrown in a dumpster. Well, some landfill worker, found a few frames of it, which shows Dan Aykroyd standing over a bullet-riddled body, smiling. They thought, because they didn't recognize Dan Aykroyd, they thought this was like a snuff film or evidence of a real crime, so they called the Calgary police, or Mounties, or whatever the freaking Canadians have. And so Dan Aykroyd is being questioned by the cops about a murder when it's really just a few frames from Loose Cannons.
Wow, I mean, who was digging through landfill trash? I mean, are you just like walking around going, oh, hey, that looks shiny, what is that?
It said landfill workers, so they were probably moving shit around.
Like, what are the odds that you work there and you happen to randomly find that of all things?
And think it's real.
And think that it's real and you don't recognize Dan Aykroyd. Like,
or the fact that it's on 35mm film.
Yeah.
That was... I don't know. I mean, I think the landfill worker is the dumbest person in the whole world. I mean, because first of all, it would be extraordinary production values for a snuff film, wouldn't it?
Well, if you're going to do something, you're going to do it right, right?
I mean, that would be the highest budget snuff film of all time. And Loose Cannons came out in 1990. This was Dan Aykroyd at what could arguably be determined as his most recognizable. I mean, this was the year after Ghostbusters 2, which, as Josh, you'll recall, that movie was all over the fucking place. Mm-hmm. You could not wake up and move around your house without being reminded of Ghostbusters 2.
How do you not recognize Ray Stantz?
Exactly. I mean, his hair was a little bit longer, but Jesus Christ, he looks pretty much the same way he looks now, the way he's looked his entire life.
Except now he looks a little larger.
A little more mass and a little less hair. But
yeah.
I mean, of all the Ghostbusters, he has definitely aged the poorest. I'll give him that. But still, I mean, how old was the landfill worker? If he was in his 20s, speaks more poorly of Dan Aykroyd than it does about him, I guess.
Well,
he's not as relevant to the kids as he would probably prefer to be.
Well, Dan Aykroyd is not a fan of this film either. His quote after talking to the cops was, "The movie should have been left in the landfill where it belongs."
I guess the statute of limitations allows him to say that, because usually if you criticize a film that you're in, you could run the risk of never making a film again, but that's beautiful.
I don't know what his problem is. It's not a bad movie. It's, of all the Gene Hackman comedy, that's definitely one of the better ones. He doesn't usually do comedy very well.
But there's also somewhat of a larger question here. Let's say this was a snuff film that they found. Would you have rather them not called the cops, just assuming it was a movie? Or playing it safe and calling the cops just in case.
No, it's a good thing they called the cops. I mean, it's important to report suspected crimes because you never know in this day and age and that day and age and every day and age. So, I mean, it's good. I think it's just a really funny situation.
We're all having a laugh at it, but I agree with you, Kat. I would have rather had them call the police than not.
Yeah, of course it's better to have called the police if you thought it was a real snuff film, because that kind of, you know, you could prevent future shit from happening by reporting it. So that's a good thing. But it's also I don't want to say civic duty, but it's almost your responsibility as a human being to be at least familiar enough with pop culture to know who the fuck Dan Aykroyd is. Jesus Christ.
That's the cat. Isn't it funny? That's the part that's sticking in his craw, the not recognizing Dan Aykroyd thing.
How do you not know who... he's a recognizable person. So it's a certain level of at least cultural illiteracy to not recognize who Dan Aykroyd is, if you're not a fan.
Kat, have you ever heard him this offended before?
Possibly, but not about something this stupid.
Yeah, in ratio of umbrage to stupidity, this is definitely the closest ratio I've come to a long time.
You know, in all fairness, the quality of the evidence, you know, might not have been that great. It might have been hard to tell that it would be Dan Aykroyd.
If the photo on TMZ is the actual film prints with the damage on them, it's still pretty obvious it's Dan Aykroyd.
It's almost a fucking publicity still.
It's close to that, yes. Just a little bit beat up and cracked. So to me, it still looks like Dan Aykroyd. But again, I know who Dan Aykroyd is. But let's move from that, being movies, to another thing about movies. Now, Charlie and I have not seen Frozen. Kat, you have, right?
I've only seen it like 4 times.
Only? Well, you're really slacking off, aren't you?
Well, you know, I don't have the Blu-ray yet.
She was just saying before the show that she's actually pissed at herself that she doesn't own it because it doesn't come out for another 3 days.
I mean, you know where you work. You will be among the first human beings in this country to own it.
I know.
Take some comfort in that.
Having seen the movie, is there anything gay in it? Because Pastor Kevin Swanson of a very large church has gone on his radio show talking about how this movie, quote, teaches children to be gay. Quoting here. How many Christians are taking their kids off to see the movie Frozen, produced by an organization that is probably one of the most pro-homosexual organizations in the country? I wonder if people are thinking, you know, I think this cute little movie is going to indoctrinate my 5-year-old to be a lesbian or treat homosexuality or bestiality in a light way, in a light sort of way. I wonder if the average parent going to see Frozen is thinking that way.
The homosexual presence in the film is probably entirely the creation of Tumblr. There's a part where Princess Anna goes to Wandering Oaken's trading post and sauna, and it's this big, big burly guy, sort of looks like he could be a lumberjack. He invites them to go say hi to his family in the sauna, and he just says, "Yoo-hoo, hey family," and then they all wave. And what people have fixated on in this particular scene is that there is a dude and some kids. And so people are assuming that his family is his homosexual partner and they're somehow adopted children. And you can choose to see that, or you can choose to see that, you know, perhaps one of those people, because it's so fucking hard to tell with this animation style how old anybody is, there is someone there who could potentially be a wife. But it's impossible to know without being told by the animators what the relationship between his family and him is. And so people just assume that he's gay and has all these kids, even though we don't really know.
That sounds to me like seeing what you want to see in the scene.
And that's Tumblr for you. The kind of community who is really very pro everything, pro-gay, pro all that kind of stuff. They definitely, that's what they have chosen to see. So that's become the popular myth surrounding the movie.
Well, I haven't seen the movie, but what was the name of the person that lodged this complaint, Josh?
The name of the person was Kevin Swanson.
Okay. On the off chance that Kevin Swanson Googles himself, I would like somebody to post this quote that's about to happen. Kevin Swanson, you should go fucking kill yourself if you can't find something better to do with your time.
That's a little harsh. I mean, he is entitled to his own opinion. Isn't that kind of the point of free speech?
He is entitled to his own opinion, but he's not entitled to just waste the time and demand the attention that he's accomplishing by lodging this complaint. It is a fucking animated movie. It is not these are not real people that you're accusing of being gay.
Oh, no, he is accusing real people of being gay. Quoting him again, "I'm guessing the majority of American parents don't want their little boys turning into sodomites. At this point, my guess is that 60 to 70% of them would say, well, that would be my worst nightmare."
Okay, I was about to feel bad about what I said earlier. Not anymore.
So, my question is, Kat, you're going to be our expert here again, since Charlie and I haven't seen it. Is that one little scene it, or how would this movie indoctrinate our children into being, his word, sodomites?
Because if I understand it correctly, they were just in a hot tub together and they were not butt-fucking in the movie. Is that correct?
Right. They're just hanging out in a sauna. I think a lot of people have chosen to take the big, really beautiful, amazing musical number where the quote-unquote Ice Queen, Elsa, sings this song called Let It Go, which is her sort of self-exploration of she's finally given the ability to be herself instead of trying to be what other people want her to be. And people are taking, some people have chosen to perceive that as a coming out anthem.
Okay, even if that were true, so isn't that kind of good to be yourself, whether you're gay or straight? Isn't that a positive message? Or am I a libertard on this?
You're a libertard.
Yeah, I was going to say, we know what Swanson here would say. I think it's a fantastic message telling people that you should do things to be happy. You shouldn't make yourself miserable all the time trying to be something you're not. That's a really positive message. And of course, the conservative religious types have taken this to be that it's telling people they should be gay and stuff, and which is
sodomites.
Just not true.
You gotta use his word, sodomites.
Well, and it's just so bizarre because honestly, these people will find fault in every single movie. It's not just Frozen. It's Hollywood in general. And I have such a hard time believing that these types of people who are, especially the really conservative types who are so pro big business.
This one is probably the clincher to all this. I could blatantly see that the homosexual agenda to normalize the practice was not simply an underlying message in the movie Frozen, but is the actual story. I'm not okay that too many parents who would not normally support the normalization of homosexual behavior seem to be completely blind to its advocacy throughout a children's movie.
I'm wondering what movie he actually saw. Because I'm pretty sure he didn't see the same movie, you know, all the people who spent their billions of dollars on this movie went and saw.
Do you think he saw the Hustler This Ain't a Frozen XXX parody version?
I'm starting to think so, because this is a movie about the bond between two sisters who have fallen apart and are trying to reclaim their closeness by saving the world from one of the sisters. I mean, there's a very, very straight coupling that ends up happening by the end of the movie. I don't know how you can claim that the homosexual agenda is the main point of the movie.
Something about bestiality, too. Does he fuck
that? Oh, the bestiality I can totally see, though. There's a guy, Kristoff, and he has a reindeer named Sven, who's his best friend. And if you were kind of insane, you could totally say that they had an inappropriate relationship.
I always knew that Victor had something for Silver. Hi-ho was his code word.
Rage around Silver!
Away!
Well, a few things. First of all, to the people that have been listening to the show in order, you got some more material for your remix that I would eventually like someone to make. Because if you take all the times Josh said sodomite and mixed it with last week's episode when Kat kept saying, put your hands on it, you can get a really good song out of it. That was 2 weeks ago, you're right. Yes, that's right. 2 weeks ago, when Kat said, put your hands on it, there's a good song in here somewhere. The ball is in your court, everybody.
Part of my problem is this whole normalizing homosexual behavior. Isn't homosexual behavior normal anyway? If you're gay, that's normal.
It is. Homosexuality is completely normal if you're not intolerant of it. But if you're intolerant of it, then it's completely abnormal to you. That brought me to my third point. I would like to retract the quote from earlier and replace it with this one. So if anyone's going to post this, this should be the quote that goes up. Kevin Swanson, do not kill yourself. Redeem yourself. I want you to become a hero that stops other people from being assholes. You could be the Bruce Wayne of religious intolerance. If he puts his mind to it, I think it could happen. He has to start right away. He has to go around and tell everybody, don't be like I was. Don't be such an intolerant piece of shit that you have to start accusing animated films of trying to turn you gay.
It's probably going to happen anyway, even if you hadn't seen it. Just be happy it was that and not like Flash Gordon or something like that, which is not a gay movie. But if you're right on the fence, I mean, you know, we're friends with Alex Jowski. We know how it works.
See, this also leads into the next part of this topic. Normalization of homosexuality as if it's not normal. Well, Michelle Bachmann came out this week that gay people are bullying the American people. Gays are bullying the American people for demanding, they always put it like this, special rights. It's not just equal rights. They want special rights. No, they don't. Gay people want the same rights as you do. That's not special. That's equal.
There's a term. What is it called? It's like transference or something, where you take issues that you have and you pretend like other people have those issues, and then you accuse people of having those problems with you. So like her saying, oh well, no, gays are pushing this horrible agenda of bullying Christian groups, when really we all know it's the exact opposite of that. It's so fucking stupid. I just spit all over my computer in the process of saying stupid. Sure. I try to get all the spit off of my keyboard.
Okay, right there, that's more material for the remix when Kat just said, I need to get all this spit off of my keyboard. However, I would like to try to illustrate for you guys what Michelle Bachmann is imagining in her head when she says insane horror shit like this. She's imagining a guy, think of the most heterosexual guy you could ever possibly visualize.
Bruce Willis.
Okay, Bruce Willis, but also in an Affliction t-shirt, he's having sex with a woman with one hand, and then like curling a weight with the other hand. He is walking by himself. The woman has apparently, you know, she didn't come and he didn't care, so she's gone. So he's walking by himself in a neighborhood after dark in West Hollywood, and he walks into an alley, and suddenly he's surrounded by a bunch of gigantic hairy bears with leather thongs, cowboy boots, and hats of alternating kinds. They just surround him, say, what you doing around here, breeder? And then it escalates from there. That's what she's trying to prevent. That is the gay apocalypse in her mind.
That was awful, vivid, and lurid at the same time, Charlie.
Thank you.
What about this with Swanson and Bachman and all these other groups? What about homosexuality scares them so much? What do two boys kissing really change in America? Okay, you people are religious. I get that. You also realize that if you want to follow this Bible book of yours, then Michelle Bachmann can't be in Congress because the Bible forbids that. That she has to be subservient to her husband. That she should have been stoned to death for working on Sundays. Do you see where I'm going with this? How it's only the parts we want to be offended by. What I'm saying is they choose to be offended by gay people.
There's a really great quote that I've just seen floating around the internet that goes something along the lines of, saying you're offended by something is one of the most pointless things you could possibly say.
I'm offended at that offense quote.
It's basically saying, I can't control my emotions and you should take responsibility for it. The fact that they're offended by homosexuality is, of course, the stupidest reason to try and change a law or, you know, take away someone's rights, because it offends you personally. I think a lot of these people have this image in their mind of the good old days, traditional family values, the leave it to beaver kind of, you know, green yard, white picket fence.
Oh, all the time on Fox, Bill O'Reilly, Glenn Beck, all them are talking about going back to the 1950s, when the 1950s was when America was America. Gays were underground, blacks couldn't vote, anti-Semitism was at an all-time high, freedom of religion was almost non-existent. You know, the good times.
Right, because those were the times that were most prosperous and conducive to perfect lifestyle for people exactly like them and only like them. So and this is why, like, I don't understand why women are part of are conservatives at all, because women, if conservatives had their way would pretty much have no rights at all. They have this ideal in their head of what the world should be like, and anything that violates that completely, just the ideal that never really existed, and anything that violates that is a threat to their livelihood, to their family values, to their religion, their blah, blah, blah. They see it as a personal threat to themselves because it's not their perfect idea. And they can't fathom that being in a country that isn't under some dictatorship of religion means having to compromise and letting people actually enjoy their freedoms. So
I know what you're saying, but it actually gets worse. Quoting Michelle Bachmann, because of course this has to be Obama's fault somehow, right? Quoting Michelle Bachmann, he's a lawless president who's violating the Constitution with every executive order. How that?
Really?
Yes, she actually said that in the same thing, in the same rant about gay people. So it's Obama's fault that gay people are bullying, and he's allowing it because he's a lawless president.
Who violates the Constitution with every oh wait, he's the fucking president of the United States. He's allowed to do stuff.
And George Bush wrote more executive orders than Obama has, so
but
Obama.
But we obviously aren't allowed to talk about Bush because we have to stop blaming everything on Bush when it's all Obama's fault.
I'm blaming it all on Charlie. Charlie?
Also because women have Bushes and women can't be mentioned in polite conversation amongst conservatives. Okay, I've been trying to absorb this as you guys have talked about it, and it's pretty ugly. I don't know. I would like to think there's an argument to explain what Michelle Bachmann is doing other than just intense religious zealotry to the point where I have to rid the earth of everyone who doesn't follow my God to please him so that – and all that shit that you
Charlie,
think about.
Charlie, did you know my God's got a bigger dick than your God?
That's what they say. And that's not okay. So I'm going to kill your child for some reason. Well, that's what it is, though. That's the only argument that makes any sense. I'm going to repeat that for Michelle Bachmann. That is the only argument that makes any sense. Otherwise, this is like neo-Nazism. This is right up there with Hitler saying we have to slaughter everyone who is not pure. Right now it's gay people. After that it'll be black people. After that it'll be Jewish people. This is what the Nazis were doing. There's no metaphor for that that's better than that. It's exactly what the Nazis were doing, and that's what we're seeing the beginning of right now.
It is religious zealotry on a scary level, because who cares? If gay people want to be gay, let them be gay. If straight people want to be straight, let them be straight. Unless they're, and I know this, I'm not meaning this as a pun, unless they're forcing their gayness on you, and I mean you specifically, like they're coming into your house and butt-fucking on your couch, it's not your problem!
What boggles my mind so bad is that, and we talk about this every single week, is that these are the type of people who don't understand that freedom of religion in this country means freedom from religion, from one another's religion. That means you get to do what you want as long as it's within the bounds of the law. And that your religion should in no way be forced upon other people. And they can't handle that. They just think that it's freedom of religion for all Christians, so that there can just be different types of Christians, and that's freedom. But that's not freedom. And they're not going to be happy until we're living in some Christian version of a Sharia state. But God forbid we actually live in a Sharia state, right?
Because that's Islamic. Well, we're actually going to take a break here, because that's a good place to make the transition. After Hart, we're going to be talking about religion some more. I do want a quick note. Westboro Baptist Church founder Fred Phelps is on his deathbed right now. With all of his anti-gay hate, would it be right if gays protested his funeral?
Yes. Only if they did it ironically.
Yeah! Art D. Fisher here, and welcome to Heart Attack. If you have never heard this segment, if you've never listened to What the Fuck, we are now going to get into the Two Angry Guys segment of the What the Fuck show. And if you didn't know, I do an hour-long version of Heart Attack, and you guys can find me online at Twitter, Heart_Fisher. I'm actually tweeting more. You could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Heart Attack Radio. So if you want to find out more news that we haven't talked about on the air, or perhaps you want to share some interesting news with us, that's the way you can communicate with us. And if you want to support...
I think what you meant, Heart, was while they're still able to go to Facebook and see all of our stuff, right?
That's true. I mean, we could talk about the school that banned a 9-year-old from bringing his My Little Pony Friendship is Magic book bag to school because it was, quote, a bully magnet. But honestly, that's just more crazy, stupid, silly-ass bullshit. Just like the whole kids in school getting busted for finger guns. It's crap. Let's talk about something that's really going to affect a lot of people right away. This week... on Friday, as we go to broadcast, this will have already been like a couple days old news. Oversight of ICANN, I-C-A-N-N, the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, will be passed on to the global internet community next year. That's right. Under a Commerce Department contract, ICANN has issued domain names since 2000. And now we're just going to throw this up and give this away to the global community. And what does that mean? It means it's easier to try to bind Americans to foreign laws that do not match our own constitution. And that's a real fucking problem that really needs to be dealt with. And we're reading about this, and unfortunately, I mean, I'm not always the biggest fan of Alex Jones, but sometimes Infowars.com nails it. And this is a hard fact here, folks, because guess what? These proposed changes were backed by China, Russia, Brazil, India, and, you know, other UN members that seem to have a lot of respect for the press or, I don't know, homosexuality or your right to worship any way you please. Internet freedom's foes around the globe are working hard to exploit treaty negotiations that dwarf anything you ever thought. And the guys that we're sending in to do this, they're SOPA guys. We're sending in dudes that already were trying to make horrible changes to the web that are only going to help them censor political speech. And we've already seen a major drop in listenership and attention on the 1201beyond.com site since the UK's porn filter went into effect. In fact, the 1201beyond.com site, which is, you know, the production home of a Heart Attack and What the Fuck, Josh's main page, we've taken a hit. BloodyDisgusting.com is banned by the UK filter. Emerald Gore Society, another website I deal with from American Horror Site, has found that they are on the ban list. And none of these guys are porn. We're not porn, okay?
No, I do want to throw out a qualifier, though. We're not completely banned. It all depends. I've had messages from some people that say, your site comes through just fine. Other people that say, no, you are blocked. So this isn't a big thing. It seems – it's like it's almost regional.
It's a big thing, Josh. What you got to ask these people is what I found is they're having to request that they could go because what the United Kingdom has done is they have privatized their censorship program. So private corporations in the UK are in charge of what is being blocked and what is not being blocked by the UK's porn filter. Now, this is happening right now. This went into effect in January. Now, I did a show on Heart Attack where I went off and I said, hey, you guys in the UK, you're fucked. And it's very true. But, you know, you can make a change. You got to get out there. You got to tell people to opt out of these programs. You got to tell people to contact their representatives. I don't really know how the United Kingdom's government works. But I would think that just like anything else, if the people put the pressure on, they're going to have to react. And you know what? They are filtering out political commentary. They're filtering out information about suicides, suicide hotlines, child abuse hotlines for people to get help.
Eating disorders.
Eating disorder hotlines are being filtered out. A lot of stuff to help people is being filtered out under the, quote, porn filter. Now, what's going to happen when the idea of registering your domain name is now handled by some foreign entity? You get what I'm saying? What's going to happen then?
China could find that 1201 Beyond maybe is some slight in their country. Maybe it's some vague gay sex term. And they're going to go, no, that's pornography. We will not allow 1201 Beyond.
And here's the thing, the Clean IT Project, their webpage explains simply that there's a plan out there calling for police to patrol Facebook and other social networks in search of, this is the quotes, extremist material, end quote, and propaganda. Those are really big categories for them to, quote,
vague police. Terms too.
They're very, very vague. So what they're going to want to do is that, one, they're going to eliminate all anonymity on the internet. That means all privacy of what you're doing on the internet is going to be gone. And let me tell you guys a little fact. There is a typewriter repair shop not too far from where I live in Los Angeles. And I have been talking to the owner. Now, at first and I've been living out here where I live for 14 years. And 10 years ago, the dude was barely getting by. But now that spying is outright rampant, writers are buying up typewriters en masse. This guy at the typewriter shop, when I ran into him last time, he was there overtime. It was like 9:15 at night. He couldn't keep up with his repair facilities and getting the typewriters to customers. And that's what I think is going to happen. We already saw this in Justified, which is, you know, a crime program that you and I both like. And in it, there's like these drug dealers with a bucket, and you write down your order. They put the piece of paper in the bucket. They pull it up to the other floor, and then they send it back down because they know every single electronic communication is being monitored and recorded, and they have voice recognition software. So forget about that. I'm going to get a cell phone burner, and I'm going to have private. No. As soon as your voice is on the phone, they have computer recognition software that immediately identifies who you are, and they're recording everything. So it doesn't matter if he's on a burner. You see all these crime shows. Oh, he's on a burner. Well, guess what? Those don't mean a fucking thing. They're locking it down, guys, and these are the facts. These are the simple facts. They're trying to eliminate privacy, and you need to hold on to it. You need to hold on to your privacy because you will become prey for whatever predator there is. I'm moving myself back to cash. Josh has already been a victim of identity theft. I have been a victim of identity theft. You know what? In a cash society, then you just got to worry about a dude just fucking mugging you, just one guy, let alone somebody out of his living room in the Ukraine or India or China or what have you, spying on you, spying on your kid. I don't know how any parent would allow their child to be running around with a smartphone. It seems to me like that is child predator candy. It is so easy to track people by these devices. So damn easy. And it's all happening right in front of your faces. All of it. Happening right in front of your faces. That's why I can only laugh when they try to distract you of the tales of the missing Malaysian flight. But they don't tell you that there was 20 military contractors on that missing flight whose specialty was radar evasion, whose specialty was developing new military programs. So there's a lot of things happening out there that you're not being told. So get online, read it up for yourself, and start arming yourself with knowledge and information, and get active. Get active, folks. Because it ain't over till it's over. We can beat them. We can fucking win. I'm Hart Fisher, and this has been your Heart Attack Moment.
Out there.
right, so we left off on religion. Let's go back to religion. Now, you guys are slightly younger than me. I don't remember exactly what year Cosmos went off the air, but you guys remember Cosmos with Carl Sagan?
Yes.
No.
It was a PBS science show.
And so it was evidently right around there.
Cosmos just came back this week. You know, Carl Sagan's dead, so Neil deGrasse Tyson has taken over. And it's executive
he's
produced.
He's awesome.
He is. And it's executive produced by Seth MacFarlane, which is a little surprising and shocking, but fine, fair enough. Cosmos is co-owned by Fox. So it's on Fox affiliates across the country. Well, there was a little error in the first episode in Oklahoma. The first episode, as it aired in Oklahoma, accidentally had a promo for the local news play over the only 15 seconds in the hour where they talked about evolution. Oops, it was an accident. They are a highly religious state, so do you buy that it was just a, oops, the only time you brought up evolution is when we accidentally played a promo in the middle of the episode? Sorry, it was just a goof.
Yeah, that... It took me a while to absorb that. Like, because when I first heard about this, I thought, oh, they replaced him with a white guy, huh? Because that's what I would have expected from Oklahoma City. But to answer your first question...
Larry the Cable Guy doing Cosmos?
Yeah, exactly. Talking about how many Jesuses it took to do all this. But to answer your first question, I believe Seth MacFarlane is executive producer because a while back he had signed renewed his contract with Fox... And for whatever reason, he was obligated to do two live-action shows. He did that one just awful fucking sitcom with Seth Green and Peter Riegert and Martin Mull. A horrible fucking show. So he went with the other one, he wanted to do something. I read this. Oh, my God. I can't remember where I found this quote. But it was to the effect of him feeling bad about how weird and crude his other shit is that he wanted to do something intelligent. So he wanted to bring back Cosmos and hire Neil deGrasse Tyson because apparently they're friends in real life.
I believe the 1 second that it was mentioned over was not it, – it's not something it, – it's not like they were saying in that particular segment something, evolution. You know, the way that it was very
– I have the quote here if you want it.
Yes, please read it.
We are newcomers to the cosmos. Our own story only begins on the last night of the cosmic year. 3.5 million years ago, our ancestors, yours and mine, left those traces. We stood up and parted ways from them then. Once we were standing on 2 feet, our eyes were no longer fixated on the ground. Now we are free to look up and wonder. Unquote. What he's saying is, we evolve.
Yes.
I think it could just be an honest mistake. And I say this because that was so fucking eloquently worded that I'm not sure that idiots, like super conservative, Bible-fearing idiots in Oklahoma would understand that that was talking about evolution.
Because I think I agree with Kat 100%. I may be a little more cynical than how Kat put it. I don't think it's a coincidence. I think that there's just way too slim of a chance that would happen exactly at that point by accident.
Let's move on from that, because maybe it was operator error. We'll have to see if a future episode talks about evolution in more specific terms and if Oklahoma or some other southern state has issues with that. Because I've worked in TV stations. That kind of thing can happen. Just exactly when it happened was the that's a big coincidence part for me.
See, on either side, there's suspicion.
Yeah.
I think if it were, like, really a big thing, then it would have probably happened in more than one place. If they were trying that hard to censor it, I would think that would have happened in more places in that state of all places.
Exactly. Well, let's move on from that to, and we're still talking about religion here, prostitution. In Arizona, prostitutes are being arrested and given a really odd choice. Now, remember... They have not been convicted of the particular crime they're being arrested for. They are being what's called lawfully detained. Usually in the cases of Project Rose, the prostitutes they don't even have evidence against them. It's basically, you're a hooker, we're arresting you. We don't have, you know, you weren't specifically soliciting someone. The choice they're given is you can go to jail or you can go to church. Literally, find God or go to jail. Before we get into the details of this, your thoughts on this.
I am wondering if it's legal
to officially issue that ultimatum. Like, I don't know if they're like just law statutes that every state has to follow. I mean, I know it's Arizona, home of the, you know,
papers,
big,
please.
Yeah, home of "May I see your papers?" making a comeback. So even for Arizona, I have to question the lawfulness of this, because that it just screams separation of church and state issue. I don't know exactly how, but that's the issue at heart of that.
Yeah, there's no way that can be constitutional. I can't fathom that being constitutional, because either you get arrested and you get tried, or you don't. And if they're, you know, it's one thing to like give somebody a second shot but it sounds like they're going above the law.
Well, like, their argument is essentially the same as with habitual drug users. When you arrest a drug user, they have the choice of going to jail or getting treatment. That's right, what they're equating this to. You either go to jail or you find God, which will give you the treatment for not wanting to be a whore anymore.
Right, but since there's no, again, this is like a treatment. If there was some sort of social rehabilitation going on, you know, like job training and you know, giving somebody opportunities to better themselves so that they don't have to be prostitutes, that would be a form of rehabilitation. This is basically saying, if you find the Jeebus, then you won't want to have all the sexes. And obviously, this is really stupid, because it's not going to work and it's unconstitutional.
There's also the fact that it creates a really sickening underground with the police, because this program is not free. So the city, because it's going to cost less to have these girls find God with Project Rose than it is to incarcerate them, send them through the court system, blah, blah, blah. So the city pays the church that runs Project Rose $1,500 a day to run Project Rose. Doesn't that give a financial incentive to finding more prostitutes than maybe there are?
Especially when the laws around, you don't have to solicit somebody for sex to be arrested for prostitution. So you can so easily, you know, arrest somebody when all they do is look at you. If there's not stricter rules in place, then yeah, this is going to be such an abused system.
There's also the fact that the lady running it has a very unique approach to running Project Rose, and I'm not saying that in a good way. Rose Sepowitz is the head of Project Rose. I'm going to quote her. "Once you've prostituted, you can never not have prostituted. Having that many body parts in your body parts, having that many body fluids near you, and doing things that are freaky and weird really messes up your ideas of what a relationship looks like and intimacy."
Okay,
that's a real quote, by the way, Charlie.
Okay, best press release ever. Oh my God, that was awe-inspiring. I think my main issue, I would just like to tell the supporters of Project Rose, nobody wants to be a hooker. I would like to make that very clear. Like, I don't know if you think religion will make people stop wanting to be a hooker. That is not the issue. Like, nobody goes to school to be a hooker. Like, no one follows a tradition. Like, nobody comes from a long line of hookers. Like, that's nobody's first choice. So,
excuse me, the Kardashians?
Touché.
I win that argument, Charlie.
That is a slut. That is not a hooker. See, what this is, when it comes down to it, is slut profiling. I mean, maybe someone's going to give a guy a handy in his car because he said the right thing, or he's just really good at first dates. I mean, this would technically make that illegal, and I would never take that away from somebody, ever.
But doesn't that quote I read, besides making Charlie just burst out laughing, and hopefully just laughing, doesn't that quote I read kind of tell you the attitude they have? Isn't normally, like, when you're trying to help a drug user or a drug addict, aren't you supposed to tell them that you can get beyond this and you can overcome this? Isn't what she said basically, once a whore, always a whore, but if you find God, you'll be less of a whore?
Like, no, seriously, because they're not even saying find God and you'll be less of a whore. They're saying there is no recovery at all.
You were a whore, you're always going to be a whore.
Like literally, that's the only message they're sending. That's fucking terrible. And I could go on and on about slut shaming and prostitution being illegal, and there could be a serious fem-Nazi conversation going on in here. But really, this is when it comes down to it, this cannot be constitutional. If the state or the county or whoever is giving the church, this religious group, money.
A stipend, basically.
A stipend. So basically they're paying this religious group to rehabilitate prostitutes via religion so that they don't have to spend money on court cases. This is definitely, absolutely, and in every way, a mixing of the church and state. You're giving people taxpayer money to indoctrinate prostitutes. I mean, that's you can't argue in for that. I mean, there's no way that's legal.
Legal or not, it is having an effect. Now, whether they're just sitting through it like, you know, a drunk that has no compunction about faking his way through AA, a lot of girls are scared. Well, I can go to jail, especially if it's your first offense. I can go to jail, I can get a record, or I can sit through this 12-week course of Project Rose and then just be back out on the street and try on this again and then maybe get rehabilitated again. A lot of girls are taking this up because they see it as this is better than jail. Do you think that was the intention?
Well, I think the people who are running it have the honest intention of you know, sucking people into their religion. And I think they honestly think they're going to help people. I think the people who are taking that option...
I don't know. Go back and look at that quote again. I don't think they even really want to help some people.
That's true. They're clearly insane. But I honestly think if I were in that situation, I would take the religious bullshit route rather than go to jail. Because you don't have to say what you mean, but when you go to prison, you're in fucking prison. So it's definitely the easier choice to make. It's certainly the less dangerous choice to take. And so why wouldn't you, if you, you know, were caught, why wouldn't you take that option? The bullshit. Why wouldn't you bullshit that test and get out of it?
I have no idea. That is totally what I would do. I mean, God, I've gotten free vacation just by sitting through seminars. Like, this is the bigger scale equivalent of that. I just think the religious aspect of it was thrown in just because it could be shoehorned in. It's like a writer on a congressional bill that has nothing to do with anything. I think someone just saw this as an opportunity to push religion and not really giving a shit about the separation of church and state and the constitutionality of it. I don't know. I don't think they're realizing the bigger truth that a person with religion would still be really desperate for money, so would still probably prostitute themselves out for the money, because that's general. I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think that's generally why people do it, for the money. Nobody really does it for the prestige or the respect they get from the community. But I don't know. I don't think it's right. I know that it's going to succeed, because when you're given that option, you're absolutely going to avoid prison, because ironically, that's where most people find religion anyway. So either way, you're going to find religion. You might as well do it before the ass rape.
Well, but the other angle here is, why are we still wasting so much money on prostitution? Prostitution is arguably a victimless crime. And I mean the prostitution itself, not the surrounding pimps and drugs and all that. Legalizing prostitution would would do what marijuana has done for your state, Charlie. You'd be able to tax it. You'd be able to regulate it. The girls and guys would all be tested and regulated. There's no downside. There's no reason prostitution is still illegal.
The whole topic of prostitution is there's very little reason for its illegality. If it could be properly regulated and people could be kept safe while doing it, the only reason that it could still be illegal is religious-based, because it's this whole idea of this, again, this perfect world that we somehow think that we used to live in, where we didn't have sluts and whores and, you know, stuff like that, even though it's, again, it's the oldest profession in the book. But we have this idea that, you know, religion tells us that we shouldn't have sex outside of marriage, so whores and prostitutes are evil and wicked and sin, sin, sin. So we shouldn't have those things because, and of course, like legalese-wise, we justify it with safety concerns and all this other stuff. But in this country, we all know it boils down to religion.
Yes, religion, again, trampling its way. Religion is bullying prostitutes.
Well, I mean, they've got to lash out for all that bullying they get from the gays.
What about for gay prostitutes?
Oh, well, now we're just getting into some sort of Inception thing.
Kat, if you want to prostitute yourself, where would people find you?
I am more than happy to whore myself out. You guys can find me on the corner of 5th and Main. No, sorry. Oh, you meant website. You can find me. I can't even handle this. Okay. You can find me on Twitter at LabyrinthCat, and you can find me on Facebook.com/NerdistCat. And then you can also find me on That Guy with the Glasses on the podcast part under my other show, Nerds of the Third Power.
Charlie, when you're not wearing a fright wig blowing dudes down at the dock, where can people find you online?
Well, speaking of prostitution that I have committed, listeners of this show, the next order you place on AdamandEve.com, use JUICE as the promo code, JUICE. And then for your next one after that, go back to Drome. But just for the next one, go JUICE.
You can find me on Twitter at Charlie McMullen and Facebook and GeekJuiceMedia.com.
Subtle. I'm at the same GeekJuiceMedia.com. Also 1201beyond.com, and you can contact this show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. I think I'm going to go do coke off of a whore's tits. Have a good night, guys.
Tally-ho!
Don't want to What the Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.